So we're here at the on Saturday afternoon at the Armidale Show, March 2023. Gorgeous day, perfect weather, ground looks fantastic. And sitting beside me is the member for Northern Tablelands, Adam Marshall. It's an absolute delight to have you here, Adam. And I'm going to kick off today, and as I said in the interview with Sam Copeland, really want to keep this positive and upbeat. It's a great day, so let's just steer the conversation that way. So probably the first thing I need clarification on, Adam, and you've been very involved with this in a very positive way, is the situation with Hunter New England Health, and more specifically the single employer model for doctors. So could you just tell our listeners a bit more about that?
Yeah, sure, Rob, and thanks for having me on. And you're right, it is an absolutely beautiful day. It's typical of Armidale, a bit of a breeze, but not too hot, and hopefully we'll get a huge crowd as the afternoon wears on. There's a huge calendar of events here at the show, so if you are thinking, oh, should I come down or not, please do. You won't regret it. It's going to be a great afternoon and evening. But the single employee model, yeah, so this is something that's been worked on probably for the last 12 months, Rob. I mean, we know that it's getting harder and harder to see a general practitioner in our local communities. Armidale traditionally has been very blessed as a bigger centre, as a city in our region, but we're starting to feel the pinch as well here, which gives you a bit of an idea about what it must be like in a lot of these smaller centres, how hard it is to get a GP. And what we also know is that last calendar year, so in 2022, 79.5% of all presentations at hospitals in the Northern Tablelands were by people who should never have walked into a public hospital if they were able to actually get an appointment with their GP a couple of months earlier. So while I'm a state MP and I have to deal with the public health system, private general practice is the sole responsibility of the Commonwealth Government. Same coin, but two different sides of that one coin. But I've got more and more heavily involved as a state MP in the general practice side of things, even though it's not, strictly speaking, my bailiwick, just because without a strong private general practice in our region, our hospital system is going to continue to get absolutely swamped and smashed, and it can't cope with that. It was never designed to cope with there being no GPs and everyone just going to the emergency department absolutely as soon as they feel a little bit sick. Or what's happening now is people don't go and see a doctor because they can't get in, and they are sick. They get sicker and sicker and sicker until they get to the point where they have to call an ambulance and go to the emergency. So that's sort of a bit of context for it. The single employer model, which has been approved for our region, what it is essentially this. Junior doctors coming out of medical school get employed directly by New South Wales Health to work in a public hospital. So you might have four or five at Inverell, three or four at Glen Innes. We'd have probably 12 here in Armidale. And they're employed full-time, so they're earning very good wages in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. They get annual leave, sick leave, carer's leave, like a nurse does or any other public servant that works for state or federal government, and they have to work 3 or 4 days in that local hospital on a rostered basis, on a shift basis. But under the single employer model, they also then work the other 2 or 3 days a week in a local medical practice, in a local GP practice, under supervision. But the benefit of the single employer model is that they can still access the Medicare benefit scheme. They get to work across the public hospital system as an employee, salary employee, but then they get to work the rest of the week as a private GP accessing the Medicare benefits incentive scheme. So they get the best of both systems. At the moment, without that approval under the single employer model, with an exemption granted by the Federal Health Minister, you have to choose to be either working in a public hospital as a doctor or being a private practice GP. You can't do both. You can't be in both systems. So the benefit of this is that it's a hybrid model. You get to work in both systems. It's good for the doctor. They get very well paid. They get the experience of working across both systems. It's good for our hospitals and our patients because we get guaranteed doctors in hospitals. It's good for general practice because we get more doctors based here in our region and hopefully they stay. But it's also good for the profession of rural general practice because it makes rural general practice very attractive to graduate medical students, where at the moment being a rural GP is very unattractive. And to demonstrate that, there's been 8 graduating classes of the Rural School of Medicine from UNE. I've been to every single graduation and every single graduating dinner. Last year was the last class, 71 doctors graduated. Not one of them is a rural GP. And I didn't get a chance to speak to all 71, but I spoke to probably close to 30, Rob, and I asked them, are you being a rural GP? No. Why? And all of them said, why would I work harder for less money when I can study for another year and be a specialist and work a lot less for a lot more money? Now, money isn't everything for them, but they look at rural general practice as being worked to the bone for not as much remuneration as you can earn doing other things in the medical profession. Under the single employer model, these GPs will be earning what specialists earn. So it becomes financially quite attractive. And to have the uniqueness of working across two systems is actually attractive as well. So there are only 3 sites in New South Wales that will have access to this model of GP in single employer model. Us, the far west of the state around Broken Hill, and where it's currently operational around Wagga Wagga in the Riverina area. So hopefully that will be a good system for us, and that will commence later this year, and recruitment will begin in the middle of this year for that. So I don't know if that makes sense, but it's a bit of a complicated area, but hopefully that explained it in layman's terms.
That was a really good explanation, Adam, and I guess my next question following on from that, because that I kind of had a vague idea that that's what it was, but you've really clarified that to me and to our listeners. Following on from that, did this come out of the... I know you did the extensive survey, which we all participated in, which was a really good thing, and that was on a potential of the amalgamation of the Hunter New England Health and back to what we had before. Did that come out of that, or how did this actually come about?
Yeah, so this all came about as a result of that 16,000 signature petition, which I took to Parliament last year. And it had a number of goals, one of which was to split the Hunter New England Health District. And whilst we didn't achieve that, we did get rid of the CEO, Michael D'Arienzo. He's gone now, thank goodness. Things can only get better. But the other component of that petition was about introducing a new model of employing doctors directly in our local hospitals. And so that's where this single employer model, or getting it for our region, was one of the achievements of that petition. That was what the state health minister agreed to approach the federal health minister to ask for that approval, for us to be approved by the Commonwealth government, and that approval has been granted.
Well, congratulations on that. It's obviously very important for us, and particularly with the currently losing doctors as we are. And so that's a really positive news story, and it's something that's certainly clarified it with me. So just moving from health to... I just want to touch on water a little bit, and I've talked to Todd Redwood earlier about Oakey River Dam, the potential there. Talked to Sam a little bit about it. The importance of water to increase our population in this area, Armidale Gyra, Armidale Regional Council area. And of course you were very involved with this, and I was kind of involved with you on this journey about the raising or extension of Malpas Dam Wall, and you've secured this finance. I'm a little concerned as to when it's all going to happen, and even though I'm really supportive of Oakey River Dam being on another catchment, that all this doesn't take too long. So that 32 million, I think it was, is that relatively secure regardless of what's going to happen in 3 weeks' time at the election?
Yes, it is secure, and council's just received another $1.9 million from the state government to enable them to engage all of the appropriate engineers and consultants to actually do the detailed design of both lifting the dam wall but also the work they need to do on Oakey Creek, to how they're going to fix the dam wall there and how they're going to put a pipeline in. I mean, that project though is a long way away. We're talking around in excess of $100 million of capital funding to do all of that, to fix that old hydro dam and put a pipeline in and pumping infrastructure to send it back to Armidale. Lifting the dam wall is a much simpler project, a much easier and far cheaper. Council's modelling indicates that lifting the dam wall 6.5 metres increases the capacity by 17 megalitres. It's currently 13 megalitres, although within that 13 meg there's a certain amount of dead water because there'd be a certain amount of sludge and slurry at the bottom. Who knows? It could be as much as 5% of the dam isn't actually there. It's dead space. But you don't really know, and hopefully we never actually find out. It came close, but hopefully we never get to the point where it goes dry. So more than doubling the capacity will do a great deal, but in that extreme scenario, even a water supply on that scale could be exhausted, and that's why council's looking to do even more. My grand plan is even bigger than that, Rob, because I would like to see eventually a pipeline connecting Armidale to Yooralla, yep, like we've got from Malpas to Gyra, not so that they can draw the water out of there all the time, but as an emergency backup. If something happens, as we saw with Gyra, those dams up there aren't large. If in a dry time, they run out first. Mm. In Yooralla, they had an arsenic issue, which is now resolved. It could come back because they still don't know how and why that happened. Mm. It just disappeared, and they upgraded their treatment plant to take the arsenic out anyway. But Kentucky Creek Dam only has a certain amount of capacity. So I would like to think that Armidale with Malpas and with Oakey Creek, that would be a regional water supply to give security to Yooralla, Gyra and the city of Armidale, because all three of those places are on a growth trajectory. Yooralla's growing probably the fastest out of those three centres, but all are growing. And so we need to be just like they were in the late 50s and 60s when they dreamt up this idea of Malpas, and they actually designed it to be twice as big as what they actually built it, mm, because they had the vision, yep, for what would come in the next half a century and beyond. We need to, I think, have that same vision and set up this region for the next half a century and beyond. And, yeah, it does cost money, but without water, well, we can talk about doctors and nurses and healthcare and having good quality roads. Well, if you've got no water, you can forget about all of those things because no one will be here anyway.
Absolutely. And, I was talking about Yooralla when I was talking to Todd this morning about the water situation. And I believe years ago, Armidale was talking about sending water to Yooralla because it's pretty much downhill all the way from the airport. And there was some, I think there was some suspicion, this was during Rosemary Leach's time as mayor, there was some suspicion from Yooralla that this was sort of amalgamation by stealth, and we know Yooralla's opinion on forced amalgamations, and I don't think anyone had touched that with a barge pole, but it just, to me, it makes, what you've said makes total sense.
Yeah.
I really hope that happens.
Yeah, and I think now, I think those mature discussions can be had without thinking that it is mergers. I think everyone, including myself, is quite jaded and burnt still from that whole botched process. And it was a botched process. We could go back through it, but it was about Mike Baird just wanting to push through and a piece of ideological, but that was just what he wanted. He wanted less councils. Then there was a faux sort of economic case put around it. And, so I don't think that issue will raise its head for quite some time. But And it's not about having control. It's about having a resource there, a backup water supply.
Yeah, so we're all stronger as a result. Yep. Adam, I probably have to ask you, with the election coming up in what, 3 weeks' time?
It's close. Yeah, 25th of March, yep. Yes.
If you'd be happy just to give your thoughts on things, and as far as I'm concerned, you should be very secure. But as from the government's point of view, the current government's point of view, your thoughts on that?
I think my reading of the situation is it's going to be very, very close. I firmly believe it'll be a small piece of real estate called Western Sydney actually determining the result of the election. There are 6 or 7 seats in that part of the state that are line ball, and depending on which way they fall, I think that will determine who is in government. The next government, one thing that I can say with almost certainty though, Rob, is whoever forms the next government, they will not have a majority. They will be what's called minority government. So people might recall the that federal government. Yeah, that federal government was a minority government. It was able to govern with the support of enough crossbench members. The next government in the state parliament in New South Wales will be a minority government. People probably don't realise it, but the current government is a minority government right now.
Yep.
To get anything through for the last 18 months, the government has relied on the support of at least two crossbench members, two independents, to get any legislation through the parliament. To win outright, the opposition need to win 9 seats. Not even the most optimistic Labor person will say that they can win 9 seats. But if they win 4 or 5, it's probably enough for them to win minority. It's going to be tight, Rob. I would be a very brave person that would predict who's going to form government, but it's going to be tight.
Yep. Well, as they say, you know, the voters always get it right. And I really like that expression.
They do. Yeah. Whether you agree with it or not, that is the decision. Yes.
And you'll be back, and so the voters will have got it right in regard to that. So, Adam, I'll just make a final observation, and it was an observation yesterday. I was in the pavilion just wandering around looking at the wonderful displays, particularly that the kids have done, and there's a fantastic portrait of you over there. Well, when I say fantastic, you actually are much more handsome in the flesh than the portrait doesn't really do you justice, and it's got a $600 price tag on it from memory, but it's good. They've got the mouth right, they've got the gap in the teeth right, but overall, you know, you're better looking in the flesh.
Well, that's very kind of you. I haven't seen this painting yet. People have sent photos of it to me, so I'm looking forward, I think, to having a look at it. Anyway, yes, I don't know how I feel about being painted, but I don't know, with that price tag, I doubt whether anyone will probably want to have that hanging on their wall at home. But
with your signature on it, you should get that sort of money.
Oh, that might see it depreciate in value markedly. We'll see.
Adam Marshall, thank you so much. You're always very generous with your time and generous with the work you do as our state MP. So thanks so much for calling over.
No worries. Thanks for having me on, Rob.
Pleasure, Adam.